Okay. Today we're going to talk about how to use the market's money to speculate in commodities. And the one way we could do this is using options. Some people get a little bit panicked when I mention options because they're a little more complicated than just simply buying futures or buying stocks or whatever it is that you're trading. And that is true. And sometimes it's fuzzy math, not black and white math. But I'm going to show you why maybe options should be considered. They give you, in a nutshell, they give you more room for error. If you're interested in learning more about the things that we talk about today, you can visit our website, decarlytrading.com, or you can see the site at the bottom, tradingcommodityoptions.com. There's a lot of free information on both of those websites regarding commodity option trading. I'm a futures and options broker. I own and work at Decarly Trading. We're located in Las Vegas, Nevada. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, that's where you can get a hold of me. If you're on social media, as you can see, I haven't switched my bird to an X. I need to do that. But I am on Twitter. Just search at Carly Garner. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. I do post a lot of pet pictures. So if you're not a dog lover, beware. You will get commodity charts, commodity commentary, but you're also going to see some dog posts. And if you are interested in exploring some of the things that we do and talk about, I provide market analysis content to Jim Cramer's Mad Money roughly about once a month, sometimes more, sometimes less. I also join Bloomberg Television about once a month to talk about option trading. And many of you may or may not have heard of RFD TV. It's a rural TV station. It caters to ranchers and farmers. It's actually pretty awesome. I join that a couple of times a week. You probably have heard of Scott Schellady. He hosts a show on the channel called Cow Guy Close. Use Fox, or I'm sorry, Scott's on Fox News quite a bit, so he's popular. If you're a Fox News viewer, if not, I get it. All right. We also write a couple of newsletters in-house for our brokerage clients. And now that we've gone through all of that, let's get to the good stuff here. One more thing I want to make sure you understand: there's substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options. It's not for everybody. We're not investing, earning interest, none of that stuff. It is speculating. And speculating is not easy. Well, I take it back. Speculating is actually kind of easy. Trading is not easy. It's a lot easier to guess where the market's going to go if you don't have any skin in the game because there's no emotions. If you're wrong, you don't lose money. You just simply stop talking about it. No big deal. People do that a lot, right? Even people that go on TV or, write newsletters, they make a call. If they're wrong, they generally just stop talking about it. And trust me, nobody can see the future. Nobody has a crystal ball. Sometimes, even the best of the best are wrong sometimes. But I want to make sure everybody understands there's a big difference between being right and making money, two completely separate things. Even traders that accurately predict where the market's going to go and what time frame it's going to go might lose money from their insight. And this might mean, for example, option buyers might get hurt by time value. If you're buying options outright, buying calls or buying puts, your timing has to be almost perfect for you to make any money. And that's because options are eroding assets. So we're going to talk a little more about that today. If you're an option seller, if you're just collecting premium, the odds are in your favor. But the downfall of that strategy is a lot of times option sellers get forced out due to volatility. So there might be just a temporary 1 or 2 day spike against their position that really causes big drawdowns on paper. And then at some point, if they panic or if they have a margin call or whatever the situation is, they might be forced out on a temporary blip. I've seen entire hedge funds blow out millions and millions of dollars on a move that happened in 1 or 2 days, and only for the market to go right back where it was 3 days ago, as if nothing ever happened. So it ruined some lives and then went back to where it was. Futures traders, on the other hand, run the risk of being stopped out. Plus, we also have those types of speculators that talk about markets but never actually pull the trigger. There's others that pull the trigger, but then they panic if something goes wrong. So they had the right idea, but they end up losing money because they didn't see it through. As you can see, speculating is easy, trading is not. We're going to give you some ideas on how to trade with in a method that hopefully will help ease your emotions and promote better decision making. Trading is a 100% a mental game, or at least 98%, we'll say. So staying calm in bad times and humble in good times, it's a difficult skill to acquire, but it is the key to surviving speculation. Some people were lucky enough to be born with the ability to keep calm even when the world's burning around them. Not everybody has that. And unfortunately, it's not really something you can learn, fully learn. You can partially learn it. But what you can do is you can control what you can control. You can't tr control how you're born and what your DNA is, but you can control your environment. And what I mean by controlling your environment is considering option trading, but also I'm going to throw this out there. Part of your environment is a healthy lifestyle. I know that's not something people want to hear, and they don't associate with what they're eating or drinking or how they're exercising or not exercising with their trading. But I can tell you, if you live a healthy lifestyle, you eat the right things, you take care of yourself, you're going to feel better, you're going to make better decisions. That is a fact. But in addition to that, you can also consider a strategy that gives you flexibility, less volatility, more room for error, lower margin of risk, lower cash outlay. And believe it or not, time value erosion can work in your favor in some situations. We're going to go over some examples. I'm going to go skip that slide. It basically says the same thing. But the idea is options are building blocks. Options, I'm sure most of you are familiar with calls and puts. Those are the basic option types. Most people assume that there's only two things you could do with them. You can either buy them or you could sell them. That's not necessarily true. You can combine long calls and short calls, long puts and short puts in any combination. And honestly, there's almost no limit to the possibilities. You can be as creative as you want to be. And you can create a strategy that fits your personality, fits your market outlook, fits your risk reward, all of those sorts of things. So you can customize it. This is quite a bit different than trading futures outright. If you're trading futures outright, in recent years, it has become a little more easier to personalize things. And what I mean by that is you can choose, for example, you can choose an E-mini S&P future, which makes or loses $50 a point. Or you could choose a micro E-mini S&P future, which makes or lose $5 a point. Or you can do three or four micros, and that way you can kind of customize your trading size. It didn't used to be that convenient. You used to only have two choices, mini S&P and a big S&P, and both of those were kind of horrible choices for most traders because they were too big, too risky. They couldn't stomach the volatility. Now, not everybody, but imagine being a beginning trader and not having access to micros. It was a whole different ball game. But with options, and options have been around almost forever, you can pick and choose what your time frame is, what your risk exposure is, what your delta is, meaning how much you want your position to make or lose based on how fast the market moves. So you can make it as conservative or as aggressive as you'd like it to be. The one thing that I kind of encourage people to do is strive to be cheap. Options are priced to lose. So you don't want to be spending a lot of money on something that erodes. It's almost like, when you buy a brand new car and you drive it off the lot, it erodes in value very quickly. Options do the same thing. As soon as you buy them, the clock starts ticking and the time value erodes, sometimes very quickly. I should point out that the exchanges on the commodity side of things, on the future side, have done a really good job at adding weekly options, daily options, and I know on the stock side they have these as well. So there's a lot of people that are day trading with options and doing aggressive short-term trading with options. That's not really what we're talking about today, but I wanted to point out that that is a possibility. So if you wanted to speculate on a trade, or I'm sorry, let's say on Powell's speech tomorrow. You could buy an option that expires tomorrow. That way, you're not paying for time you don't need, things like that. So, there are definitely some opportunities to pinpoint your speculation. That doesn't mean you're going to be right again, but it gives you the flexibility to try. We're going to talk about some strategies that we've recommended here recently and based on the current market conditions. And I'm going to refer to things in a manner of free. I'm going to say this is a free trade. But what I mean by free is we're not spending money or cash yet. Free doesn't mean that there's no opportunity cost. When you put together a free option trade, it means that you're selling more options than you're buying, which also means that you have naked exposure. So you have unlimited risk exposure. So while you're not paying for that option spread in cash, you're paying for it in acceptance of risk. Just like I said, options are an eroding asset. Most options expire worthless. So it makes sense to behave accordingly. It's generally better to be an option seller than a buyer. When the opportunity presents itself, it's not always a good idea to sell options. In fact, some people will tell you it's never a good idea to sell options because you have unlimited risk. And on that option that you sold, you're bringing in a limited amount of premium. So you have limited profit potential and unlimited risk. On the surface of things, that sounds like an awful idea. In reality, it can be helpful because most options expire worthless. So the odds are in your favor as long as you don't let the low probability runaway market ruin your day, your week, or your year. It can get pretty ugly fast. An option spread generally, well, almost always will include a short option and a long option, maybe even a couple short options. Most of the strategies we're going to show you today involve two short options. And the combination of long and short options enables traders to design strategies that take advantage of both buying and selling options. So you're getting the good and the bad part of option trading. And some of the legs of the spread are going to hedge the other legs. So there's an inherent hedge built into the trade. Before you go out and start thinking you're ready to sell options or trade option spreads, please first understand the risk that you're dealing with. Also, I'm going to mention the micro options again. There are micro options on the stock indices in the futures, crude oil, and they're listing, I believe, gold shortly, or maybe they already have. It's been a few weeks since I checked. But the great thing about the micro options is you can practice some of these strategies without necessarily risking your shirt. So even if you're dead wrong and you get into trouble, it's probably not going to ruin your life. It's just going to teach you a good lesson. And before you sell any options, micro, minis, full size, whatever you're doing, pay attention to volatility. Implied volatility is the premium that a market prices into option values to account for expectations of future volatility. Implied volatility can go up and down quite a bit. It goes up very quickly and it generally goes down slowly. If you're going to sell options like you mean it, not with complacency or for minimal compensation. Make sure you get enough premium to make it worth the acceptance of unlimited risk. If you aren't sure if the market you're looking at is volatile or not volatile, if you can't really tell by the way the options are behaving or the charts, and or you just want to look at a long-term perspective of volatility in that particular market, go to the CME Group's website, cmegroup.com, and search for volatility or implied volatility, and it should pop up. They basically have a very nice page of implied volatility for all of the commodities. So just like it's almost like the VIX, but for commodities. They can't use the word VIX because that's trademarked by the CBOE, but that's basically what it is. So you'll be able to find long-term VIX, quote-unquote VIX charts on crude oil, gold, treasuries, grains, all of them. And you can go back a handful of years and just see what the volatility has been, what it is now. If you see the volatility is very low, like it is in something like maybe corn, you don't want to be doing a lot of option selling. It still might make sense depending on the circumstances. We actually do have some risk reversals on in corn based on what we recommended to our clients, but you don't want to just be willy-nilly selling calls, that's for sure. In fact, I wouldn't have any short calls above the markets and the grains because speculators are sitting on roughly the largest net short position ever in the history of grains. We're going into a WASDE report on Friday, and you know, anything could happen. Volatility is low, so you're not getting a lot of premium for selling those calls anyway. No reason to have that risk. This is the volatility chart on WTI crude oil. The volatility is this solid line here, and the dotted line is the actual price of crude oil. You can see that crude oil volatility is actually on the low end. We've had a couple of years of just complete chaos. This is 2020. 2020 was a really wild year for oil. Then again, we had, so it was 2022 because of the Russia invasion of Ukraine. Things have started to calm down. So in oil, it's okay to sell options in a very, very, very low quantity, but you do not want to get aggressive whatsoever and sell in premium. You want to make sure if you're going to sell puts, make sure it's well under the market, well under the support levels that you can see on the chart. I personally probably wouldn't have any naked calls above, not at this juncture. I think crude oil has some room to move on the upside, and crude oil rallies can get very wild. Pay attention to positioning, and what I mean by that is market trends eventually exhaust themselves because everyone that wants to sell in a downtrend or buy in an uptrend have already done so. It's really as simple as If everybody's already sold, there's no one left to sell. I know that sounds elementary, but that's how it works. And when the market gets overloaded on one side or the other, it really doesn't matter what the news is. It's if the selling dries up or the buying dries up, the market reverses. The best way that I've found to take a look at this phenomenon is barchart.com. And what you're looking for is the COT report. It's the Commitment of Traders report. It's actually issued by the government, the CFTC, but you can find it for free on Barchart. And if you went to the government's website, you'd be looking at data. You're looking at Excel charts, not actually, not even nice Excel charts. It's actually like a notebook file, a note file, notepad, sorry, like a Windows notepad file. And it's literally just tabular data and with no lines. And so good luck reading that. But at bar chart, you can pull up a very nice chart of any commodity or futures contract you want. And at the bottom, it'll show the COT report. The COT report shows us where large speculators are positioned, where small speculators are positioned, and where commercials are. It does show us some additional information, but those are the three things we focus on. This is soybeans, and I'm going to show you a soybean chart that we recommended to our clients just recently. But this green line here is large speculators. That represents large speculators. So those are speculators that have deep pockets. They generally are really early to get long and really early to get short because guess what? They have lots of money. They don't have to be exactly right on the turning point. If they're just kind of right, they might do fine. But what you see is when they start to get short the market is when the selling in soybeans generally kind of runs out of steam. It doesn't mean that the market's going to turn immediately. It just means like, hey, this is a time to start looking at buys instead of sells or vice versa. So in other words, you don't want to place a trade just because the COT report says too many people are long or too many people are short, but it's a red flag. You should put things on your watch list that start to fall into those overheated territories. So if you're creating option spreads and you're getting creative, I'd like to say one thing actually. Some people tend to get too creative because you can make any spread you want, you can build anything you want. I've seen people come to me with option spreads that they've created, and it's great. Because it's great in one way because they've just developed a strategy that can absolutely not lose money. It would be impossible for them to lose money. But the problem is, it's also impossible for them to make money. So all they've done is created this big complex position, paid a lot of commission to the broker, paid transaction fees to the exchange, which the exchange gets, trust me, they do very well. And then in the end, they're just sitting with the trade that looks really fancy in their trading platform. But can't make or lose money. So nobody did anything other than the people earning the fees. So another thing to keep in mind about option spreads is they don't have to be executed or offset altogether. And some people think that you only get a margin break if you get into a spread all at the same time, vice versa. That's not true. The margin is the margin whether you executed three or four legs individually, or if you did it on a spread ticket and executed all at the same time. The margin's always going to be whatever your risk is, according to the exchange's eyes. But you can break apart a spread. So if you're trading let's say you're trading a three-legged spread and the market goes in your favor, two legs are working in your favor, one leg's working against you. You may look to lift one of those profitable legs to reduce your risk and to hold the others just in case the market continues to go in the way that you wanted it to go. You can also do this if the market goes against you. I'm going to show you a few examples. It's kind of like a mulligan in golf. You get just a chance to kind of redo it. You also can leg into spreads. So if you buy a call option because you think, let's say you think treasuries are going higher and you buy a call option in the 10-year note and the market rallies as you expected, you could actually sell a call option against the option that you already have to turn it into a vertical spread. Or you could sell two and turn it into a ladder. So you can sell options around options that you already own to adjust your trade. This is basically adjusting your cost, adjusting your risk because the conditions have changed. So again, don't be caught in the mindset that you have to be in a spread or out of a spread. And what you started with is what you have. You can adjust your position any way you want. There are no limits to how creative you can get. Okay, let's take a look at some examples here. Okay, you should be able to see the DeCarli perspective at the top. This is a newsletter that we send to our brokerage clients If we see an opportunity that we think is attractive based on market conditions now that we do not see into the future, sometimes we're wrong, sometimes we're right. We try really, really hard to be right more than we're wrong, but we give our clients ideas and they don't have to take these ideas, obviously, but maybe they get the wheels burnt running in their brain and it gives them some ideas. This was a trade we put out about a week ago, I want to say. And the idea is we're looking to go long soybeans, but we don't want to buy futures because maybe soybeans have a little further to go. Our original idea was the front month would see $11 in soybeans before we started to find the bottoming process. The front month, the March contract got to 11.15. So we're right there in the ballpark, but we're not convinced that the low is in. Maybe, well, we're not convinced that we can't retest lows or maybe even go slightly lower. So we wanted to structure something that gives it room for error. And by the way, even if we really thought strongly that we were able to pick the bottom with that much precision, which we do not, we would still prefer to have some room for error because nobody's perfect by any means. So this is the way a spread would work in which you are using the exchange's money to pay for an option that you want to be long. In this case, we'd like to be long the $12 call, which if you look down here in this order ticket, this is from our trading platform, our free platform, that call would cost about 30 cents. I'm gonna round just for simplicity purposes. But 30 cents is what the cost of that option would be if you decided to just buy it outright. So that's about $1,500. I just told you that most options expire worthless and they're eroding assets. So $1,500 is a lot of money to buy something that we don't necessarily have faith in paying out. I mean, of course, we do think it will because otherwise we wouldn't do the trade at all. But we know that most of the time those types of things don't. So instead of paying $1,500, we can sell a 1280 call above the market. And these are the strike prices that we're selling premium in. They aren't just randomly chosen. There's some thought that goes into them. You can see the 1280 area tends to get some reaction. It's a bit of a pivot area. When the market fell below 1280 in late December, that's when the meltdown started to occur. So 1280 seems like a place where we'd be comfortable collecting some premium there. We're long a $12 call, so there's no unlimited risk here. There's no risk above 1280. All we're doing is giving up profits above 1280. But to be honest, the market probably isn't going to go much above 1280 anyway. In fact, even if we're dead right and it gets to 1280, it's going to probably experience some volatility and maybe even a reversal at that point. So that seems like a good place to finance our trade with. So we collected 14 cents for that. Again, this is for educational purposes. These are just hypothetical numbers. I'm not saying we were able to get exactly these fills. I think some clients got a little better, some clients got a little worse. We're not recommending you put this trade on. We're just giving it to you for educational purposes. So with the $12 call and this long $12, short 1280, we're still paying money out of pocket. So we can shore that up by selling a 1080 put for 18 cents. Now, beans haven't seen 1080 for a handful of years. They haven't spent much time below 11 in a handful of years. Can beans go to 1080? Sure, anything can happen. But this early in the season, we're going into planting, we're going into growing season. Lots of weather issues could arise. It seems unlikely that we would just continue to go straight down. More likely, not only are we oversold, but we're going into a time of year where weather starts to get a little bit sketchy and we just don't know what's going to come out of the ground in October. So markets tend to price in a premium for that. So if you did this combination, if you bought the $12 call in July soybeans, sold the 1280, and then sold the 1080 put, you'd basically be doing it for free. You might even collect a half a penny or a quarter of a cent. So you cover some transaction costs. Here's the stats on that. The margin would be about $1,500. You would not want to put this trade on in a $2,000 account. Even though the margin's only $1,500, you want to give yourself lots of room for error. You don't want to be forced out of the trade just because you're on a margin call or your account balance is getting a little low and you're panicking. If you're going to do this sort of stuff, make sure you have enough money to actually back it and to let it work. I would suggest at least 5 to 10,000 allocated to this position alone. That's way more than you need based on margin. And probably 90% of the time, you don't need 5 or 10,000 to back this type of a trade. But I just mentioned earlier in the class, it's that low probability, small percentage occurrence that really wipes people out that are trading these types of strategies. So be really careful about overloading and being complacent. The trade has unlimited risk below 1080. I don't think I didn't properly disclose that. So we're selling the 1280 call to pay for the 12 call. And that call does not involve risk other than giving up profits above 1280 because this $12 call covers everything above. So what happens is you make money from 12. At 1280, you max out. If beans go to 15, you only made 80 cents. That's it. The 1080 put, on the other hand, is naked. And what that means is you have unlimited risk below 1080. So if beans do drop to 1080 and go lower, your exposure is unlimited basically until zero or even lower. We le just learned a few years ago that crude oil went below zero. We didn't really, no one really thought that could actually happen, but sure enough, it did. So anything's possible. So we're going to say unlimited risk below 1080. In reality, what it ends up being is if we get to 1080 and the market continues lower, it's kind of like being long a futures contract. It's the same risk reward prospects, kind of. Above 1080, obviously the option expires worthless, but below 1080, it's like a futures contract. If held to expiration, and I don't necessarily recommend people hold to expiration, basically never, because a lot has to happen, like the stars really have to be aligned at expiration for you to get the max payout. So too many people focus on what the maximum potential payout is, and then that's what they have in their mind, and so that's kind of their exit target, and it shouldn't be. The most you can make on this trade is 4,000 if you held the expiration. But I would say if you put the trade on and it went your way, somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000, depending on what the market looks like and how things go, you probably want to just take your money and move to the sidelines and maybe put something on that's a little less aggressive. So you don't have to get out completely if you still think soybeans are going up, but just take some money off the table, put something on that's not going to hand your head back to you if the market reverses. When we did this trade a few weeks ago, there was about 112 days to expiration. It's probably more like 100 now, but that gives you an idea. 100 days in the market using the market's money with a $4,000 profit potential. Again, there's an asterisk there. Not a bad way to play it. If you tried playing it with futures, you'd have to worry about placing a stop. You might get stopped out and then the market goes your way. That's why I prefer this type of a strategy. But again, everybody's personality is different. You got to find what works for you. We did something pretty similar in treasury bonds not too long ago, about a week and a half ago, I would say, almost the exact same trade. Bonds did fall below 112 last year. This is the 30-year bond future, by the way. But historically, 112 has been a price we haven't really seen in 20 years. In fact, when I first got into the business, bonds were trading in double digits. And I remember the first time it got above 100, it was like flabbergasted. We were all flabbergasted. We just could not believe that was even possible. Yet we've been trading above that level for the last 20 years. And now I think 112 is just as shocking, but on the opposite side of the coin. So this was pretty shocking, I think, for most bond traders. Can we go back to 112 and go below? Of course, we can, but the odds seem very slim, unless inflation just really goes berserk again, or there's some sort of, I mean, that's the only thing I can even imagine would do that. In any case, there was a trend line here. The bonds were testing. They seem to be holding, and so we put the trade on. We've actually advised our clients to start peeling off, and so that's what I want to talk to you about with this trade. So we wanted to buy the 120 call, which was $2,000. This is 2 points in bonds. That's $2,000. We didn't want to spend $2,000 because options mostly expire worthless. So we took the market's money. We sold the 112 put for about a point. That's about $1,000. I'm rounding. But for that $1,000, we're accepting unlimited risk below 112. So we were accepting that risk in exchange for $1,000. And then we also sold the 123 call for $2,000. I apologize, for $1,000. Between the two options, we collected $2,000, enough to pay for this option hypothetically. Just again, as a disclosure, when I say we're paying this or we paid that, I'm just rounding. Clients may have gotten filled better or worse than these prices. This is just for educational purposes. And again, I'm not recommending you do this. In fact, this trade's already left the station. So a few days ago, we advised our clients that put this position on to buy back their short puts, the 112 puts. The markets are a little bit odd, to be honest. Things seem a little out of whack. There's a lot of euphoria and things like Bitcoin and the Na and Nvidia stock. Things just don't feel right. And so we're trying to be a little more careful than usual. So what we actually had our clients buy this option back pretty prematurely, to be honest, but that's where all the risk is. So as the market rallies, the first thing you want to do on a trade like this is buy back your naked put. That's where your risk is. That's where your margin is. Once you get that off the table, you're left with a vertical call spread with limited risk. So if you take this off the table, I think most people were able to get $400 or $500 in profit out of it. That cuts your cost of this spread in half. So now you only have a $500 risk, and you can make as much as like $2,500 roughly. Again, I'm rounding, but now we're sitting on a very limited risk trade. If Powell comes out tomorrow and surprises the markets and treasuries just fall out of bed, well, we might look to resell the put, or we might just say, woo, we're glad that we took our risk off the table. That would have been unpleasant. So again, you can break these apart. This trade margin's about 32, 3,300. One thing to keep in mind about exchange margin is the exchange sets the margin at a rate that they think is the worst case 1 day scenario. Now, that doesn't mean that that trade can't lose more than that in a single day, because it can. Nobody knows the worst case until it actually occurs. And then even then, we don't know if that was really the worst case or if it can get worse. But that's when you see a margin requirement of 3,200, you can just assume that's what the exchange thinks would be the loss for that position in one trading session if something went berserk. That's what that means. So in the last trade, the soybean trade we were looking at, I think the margin was 2,000. So the exchange thinks there's a little less risk in that position, maybe $2,000 drawdown per day. Of course, nobody wants to lose 2 or 3,000 on a single one lot position in any market on any day, but that just gives you an idea. Like if you want to participate in this trade and you're willing to accept the risk of selling the 112 put, you better understand that that's a possibility. You might lose 3 grand in a day if something weird happened. The most this position could make if you held everything intact is about 3 grand. I just told you that we advise clients to buy this put back prematurely. And what that did is took our risk off the table. It changed this number to zero. Our margin goes to zero. Our risk is now limited to about $500 instead of unlimited. The maximum profit drops by whatever we spend on this. So in this case, our maximum profit drops to like 2,400. So if we held after buying the put back and taking a small profit, if we held the rest of the trade to expiration, it might be possible to make about 2,400. Again, we would never hold the expiration. That's just not something that I generally think is a good idea. It's kind of akin to chasing pennies while letting dollars slip by. But everybody has their own strategy and their own idea. So I'm not going to say that anything is wrong. There's a million ways to skin a cat in this game. All right. This one might be a little more interesting to this particular crowd because we're talking about a market that people are very familiar with. It's the E-mini S&P and the NASDAQ. So this is a trade that we put out a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. And it was to replace a position that we put on prior to that that was not going well. And so we wanted to basically just reduce our risk, cut our risk, and take a little bit of a loss on the original trade. And then we put this one on top of it. Or some of our bigger accounts decided to just add this to what they had already. So for full disclosure, this trade is looks a lot better on paper than the original, but we were definitely early to start getting in on the short side of the equity indices. And I regret, obviously it's hindsight's 2020, but I look back at a lot of our analysis and we've been kind of pointing out 18,000 in the NASDAQ and 5150, 5200 in the S&P for almost a year now, as possible targets. When we started talking about that a year ago, everyone thought we were just off the walls crackers. They thought we were nuts. Lo and behold, here we are. But ironically, even though our charts on the long-term basis told us this is exactly where the market had a pretty good shot at going, we started turning bearish the S&P around 4,900. So we started doing that a little early. But this is a fresh position. And this is why we think playing the downside might make sense. Obviously, it's been a rough time for anyone trying to sell the stock indices. It has been a one-way street. But this is a NASDAQ chart. You can see if you put a, this is monthly, by the way. If you draw a line from the 2000 high, this is the dot-com bubble, through the 2021 high, it comes in right around here. Don't ask me why these trend lines work the way they work, but they just do. And so there's a not only for this purpose, for many, many reasons. I think there's a good chance the market could get a nice correction. I'm not saying we're going into bear market territory and it's going to be doom and gloom. Not saying that. I'm just saying this is a little suspect. It's almost exactly what we saw in late 2021. As far as in 2021, it was Tesla stock pulling everything else up with it. Now we're Nvidia's doing that. In 2021, we had Bitcoin and NFTs and all this just silliness in the crypto market. We're seeing that again. There's still a lot of stimulus cash, Fed cash out there, and it's being used to speculate. It's really as simple as that. But the biggest red flag we see is this is the RSI Relative Strength Index. When it starts to make lower highs while the futures market's making higher highs, it's a red flag. It does not guarantee that the market turns around tomorrow. It might be next week, it might be next month, might be 2 months from now. So unfortunately, it's not as easy as just looking at this and picking the high. But it is a very, very good warning signal that something's not quite right and we could be in for a pretty good correction. Rather than playing the NASDAQ, which is the chart we're using for analysis, we prefer the S&P because it's a much smoother index. It's lower margin, it's more reasonable, it's a little less volatile. Using May options, so this is the Friday week threes, if you're familiar with the way futures options work. These are the Friday week threes for May. And it's possible this trade, actually, even after the recent sell-off, this trade's still right around where we got in. So we're, as I mentioned, we were a little early to the party on this. Or maybe we're just dead wrong. We might be proven dead wrong. That's possible too. But for now, we're going to say we're early. You can buy the 4900 put, sell a 4700 put, and then sell a 5350 call and get something pretty close to even money. What that means here, you see a negative sign. That means if you could get filled at these prices, you'd be able to basically collect a couple hundred bucks for the trade. So the market is not only buying your 4900 put, but it's paying you to get into this trade. Not much, but it's paying you a few hundred bucks. Your risk is unlimited above 5350. So if the market rallies above 5350, it's like being short a futures contract. Below 4700, you don't make any more money. So if the market just completely crashes, let's say we get a COVID 2.0 and we start trading into the 39s, 38s, the most you could make is the 200 point spread between 49 and 47. So that's about 10 grand though. That would be nice if you held all the way to expiration. It would be really, really difficult to hold this position all the way to expiration because what we see happen a lot is, let's say the market does sell off. Let's say it sells off all the way to 4,500 and tests this 200-day moving average. There's no guarantee that the market's going to stay below your spread going into expiration. So although it looks like your spread's maxed out here, it could very easily hit the 200-day and rally back. And so you just turned your winner into a loser. So again, I'll say, don't be caught up on the idea that you have to hold all the way to expiration and make sure you squeeze every penny of profit potential out, because doing that would probably cost you money as opposed to make you more money. If and when the market ever sells off, we would advise our clients to first pay attention to this call. If this call loses most of its value, buy it back. That's where all the risk is. Once you buy that back, your margin is wiped out. You now have a zero margin trade. You've now used this call option to partially pay for this put spread. So your cost of entry is still minimal. Your risk at this point would be limited once you get out of this call. Let's go and look at the stats here. The margin on this position is about 9,000. So you can see this is a much more expensive market to trade. You could do the exact same trade with the micros. So the margin on micros would be about 900, but your risk, your reward would also be 1/10 the size. So this trade has unlimited risk above 5350. The maximum profit is, like I said, 10,000 if you hold the expiration, not likely. If you did it with the micros, your profit potential would only be 1,000. But again, your risk would, or I'm sorry, your margin would only be 870. And going back to that conversation we had about how the exchange determines what the margin will be, an $8,700 margin means the exchange thinks it's possible you might lose that much in a single trading day if something goes against you. It would be unusual, but it could happen. So if you're not, if that churns your stomach, this is not the trade for you. Or do it with the micros. I think most people could stomach an $800 or $900 loss in a micros based on almost the worst case scenario. When this position was put on, and we had 91 days to expiration, so that gives 3 months for something to crack. So far, nothing has cracked, but it's not over yet. It's not always appropriate to put together option spreads. Sometimes, if volatility is low, options are cheap. Sometimes it makes sense just to simply buy a call. Do it the boring way. Your risk is limited. So this is a 10-year note call. This is 3 or 4 weeks ago. We suggest our clients buy this. Nothing has really happened. I think it might be up a few bucks, maybe 50 to 100 at the most. So not a game changer either way. But the idea is we want to have that foot in the door. At the time, it was purchased with 100 days to expiration. 100 days when we're going into Fed meetings and the last handful of Marches, let's face it, March 2020, March 2022 have all been fraught with complete chaos, and none of that chaos was predictable. It just happened from out of nowhere. So this is a good time of year to have something out there just in case all heck breaks loose. So we decided to suggest our clients buy the 10-year note 114 call for 450 bucks, roughly. Some paid a little less, some paid a little more. 100 days in the markets. If all heck breaks loose somewhere politically, or I mean, who knows what could happen? 114 is not going to be that difficult to get to. This is this green line is 114. In fact, we could be looking at something much, much higher. So we'll see. Worst case scenario is it expires worthless and people are out 450 bucks. I'm going to show one more trade. We have a lot of cattle and farm ranches, cattle ranches, farmers that like to hedge their cash market positions. So, and also we have speculators that like to speculate in cattle, hog, corn prices, you name it. This position is something that could be used for speculation or hedge. So somebody that owns cattle, let's say they're a rancher and they have a bunch of cattle in the field and they want to lock in the high prices, they could do something like this. It's called a risk reversal. We're basically using the market's money to buy insurance. You can do something like this in the S&P as well. I've talked about this a few times, I think maybe even in one of these webinars. But the idea is you can sell a call option. And in this case, this is the all-time high in cattle. So it's possible to sell a call option above the all-time high in cattle and use the proceeds to buy a put at a level that currently might be seen as cheap, but historically it would be considered very, very, very expensive. I mean, you can see cattle prices came from 90 and now we're trading in the 170s, 180 area. This position, again, it's a free trade. We're collecting, this is about $425 on the call. We're using the proceeds to buy that put. It's free insurance for ranchers. It's a free trade for speculators. The margin is about $1,300. It does come with unlimited risk above the all-time high, so we'd have to make new all-time highs for that trade to get into trouble. Not impossible, but not necessarily likely. I'm going to go back to the S&P trade really quick. Now that we just talked about risk reversals, you could do the same thing here. Let's pretend that let's just pretend that this 4900 put is not here. We'll just pretend this line doesn't exist. You could sell a 5350 call and buy a 4700 put in the futures markets. And what that does is it gives you free insurance on your stock portfolio. So if you want to do that as a hedge, let's say you're trading $250,000 worth of S&P stock in your investment account and you don't want to sell it because you don't want to give up any upside potential. You don't want to create a taxable event. You still want to get the dividends, but you also want to make sure that if the market rolls over, you're not left holding the bag. You can do that by selling a call like this. I'm not saying exactly this call, but just to give you an idea, you can sell this call for about $1,500. You can buy this put for about $1,500. Didn't cost you anything. You have free insurance under $4,700 on $250,000 worth of your portfolio. What you're giving up is gains above $5,350. So if the market keeps going, let's say the S&P just keeps roiling higher. If it gets up to this price, you're going to be making money in your portfolio, but you're going to be losing money in your futures account because we're above the strike price of the call. So you're kind of capped out. You're still getting dividends. You didn't create a taxable event, but you're making in one account, losing on the other. However, I think giving up gains above 5350 for a free insurance policy below 4700 makes a lot of sense historically. All right, we're starting to run out of time. I'm just going to real quickly go over the summary. Trading is a mental game in which market participants are competing against themselves as well as other traders. I believe, and not everyone believes this, but I believe that trading options and creating spreads, like I just showed you, is a really big step towards controlling your emotions because you have more room for error. You don't have to be exactly right. Your account balance is going to move a little slower than it would if you were trading futures outright or other assets that are leveraged. And option trading allows you to adjust. You don't have to be all in. You don't have to be all out. You can peel some off along the way, take profits, reduce risk. But the reality is, you do have to be in it to win it. So if you're just sitting on the sidelines talking about where you think the market's going to go, but not doing anything about it, obviously you're not going to ever make any money, but you won't lose money either. And that's fine. So you have to just decide which type of person you are. If you want to learn more about trading commodity options, again, tradingcommodityoptions.com, that's our book website. The book is available on Amazon. It's available at any major book outlet. It's cheapest on Amazon. And it goes through all the things that we talked about today, goes through that plus several other strategies in very painful detail with adjustments, recommendations, ideas, things like that. And again, we appreciate everybody showing up and sticking around and listening. If you would like to sign up for a free trial of our newsletter so you see some of the trades we're doing in real time, visit decarlytrading.com. And one last time, here's my contact information. Feel free to shoot me an email if I missed anything or if you have any questions or if there's anything we can do for you.